The first thing you're going to notice isn't the rock, it's the give. You step on that aluminum plate to walk into the house, and there's a microscopic sink, a tiny fraction of an inch of movement that shouldn't be there. Then comes the sound, a wet, rhythmic squelch that stays in your ears long after you've closed the door. If you ignore that squelch, you aren't just looking at a cosmetic fix anymore. You're looking at a subfloor that's turning into oatmeal. I've seen it happen where a homeowner waits 3 years too long, and by the time they pull that metal strip up, they aren't looking at wood anymore. They're looking at a colony of carpenter ants and a joist that looks like it was chewed on by a beaver. That's the cost of a failed threshold. It's the primary gatekeeper between the dry sanctuary of your home and the relentless drive of rainwater to get inside your walls. When it fails, it doesn't just let in a draft, it lets in the slow, silent death of your home's foundation. We're going to make sure that doesn't happen today. Before we even touch a pry bar, I want you to look at the bench or check your pocket. You should have a simple plastic drinking straw. It's sitting there next to the heavy-duty sealant and the impact driver, looking completely out of place. It's a bit of trash from a fast food lunch, but by the time we're halfway through this, it's going to be the most important precision instrument you own. Just leave it there for now. Let it be a reminder that the biggest jobs are often saved by the smallest, most overlooked details. Now, look down at what you're standing on. A threshold isn't just a piece of metal or wood. It's a complex assembly of slopes, seals, and hidden channels designed to move water away from your house. Most people see a dinged-up piece of aluminum and think they can just unscrew it and slap a new one down. That's how you end up with a door that sticks in the summer and a puddle in the hallway in the winter. That's how you end up with a door that sticks in the summer and a puddle in the hallway in the winter. You need to feel the transition between the floor and the sill. If you run your hand along the edge where the metal meets the wood flooring inside, it should feel flush, or nearly so. If there's a gap, or if the metal feels like it's floating, you've already got trouble brewing underneath. I remember a job I did back in my third year of doing this on my own. I was cocky. I measured the old threshold, which was a beat-up oak and aluminum combo, and I went to the lumber yard and had them cut me a brand new one to those exact specs. I spent 2 hours fighting that new piece into the opening. It wouldn't sit. It bound up on the left side, and the door wouldn't latch. I ended up taking a planer to it, taking off more and more material until I'd basically ruined the weather stripping. What I didn't realize, what I hadn't learned yet, was that the old threshold had warped and expanded over 20 years of taking on moisture. By measuring the old part instead of the actual masonry-to-masonry or stud-to-stud opening, I was building a fix for a ghost. I was copying a mistake. We aren't going to do that. We're going to measure the house, not the trash. Start by getting your oscillating multi-tool or a good sharp chisel. We have to break the seal. This is where you'll start to smell it, that damp, earthy scent of wood that stayed wet for too long. If you smell that, don't panic, but pay attention. It's the house telling you how far the damage has gone. You want to cut through the old caulk lines and any paint that's bridging the gap between the door jamb and the threshold. If you try to pry that threshold up without cutting those seals, you're going to splinter the bottom of your expensive door casing, and then you've turned a one-hour job into a three-day sanding and painting nightmare. Feel the vibration of the saw as it sinks into the old wood. It should be a clean, high-frequency buzz. If the saw suddenly sinks in like it's hitting butter, or if the vibration turns into a dull, heavy thud, you've hit the rot. That's your first sensory reset. A healthy subfloor resists the blade. Rot swallows it. If it's soft, you need to stop and see if you're just replacing a threshold or if you're rebuilding the rim joist. For today, we're assuming the structure is sound, but the sill is spent. Once the seals are cut, you're going to take a long pry bar, slide it under the exterior edge. You aren't looking for a massive sudden movement. You want to hear the crack pop of old nails or screws surrendering. It's a dry snapping sound. If you hear a wet tearing sound, that's more evidence of moisture. Lift it an inch, then move down 6 inches, and lift again. You're working like a dentist pulling a tooth. Gentle, persistent leverage. When that old threshold finally comes free, look at the space it left behind. This is the moment of truth. You should see a flat, relatively clean subfloor, or a concrete slab. Take a wire brush and clean that area out. Every bit of old sawdust, dried caulk, and dead bugs needs to go. If the surface isn't flat, your new threshold will never seal. Run your hand over the bare wood or concrete. It should feel gritty, but level. If you feel a hump in the middle, your new threshold will teeter, and every time you step on it, it'll rock back and forth until the seals break again. This is where your preparation pays off. Now let's talk about that replacement. You've got your measurement from the actual opening, the width between the door jambs at the very bottom. When you go to fit the new threshold, don't just drop it in. You need to dry fit it first. This is the stage where most people get impatient. They see the finish line, and they want to start screwing things down. Resist that. Slide the new sill into place. It should fit snugly, but you shouldn't have to beat it in with a sledgehammer. Step on it. Does it creak? Does it shift? If you feel any movement under your boots, you've got a gap. This is where that plastic straw comes back into play. If you have a deep screw hole or a narrow gap where you need to get sealant but the nozzle of the caulk gun is too fat, you're going to slip that straw over the tip of the caulk tube. It gives you a surgical strike capability. But more importantly, we're going to use a piece of that straw as a shim if we have a slight wobble. A plastic straw doesn't rot. It doesn't compress like wood. If you have a tiny bit of play on one side of the sill, a flattened piece of that straw slipped underneath can provide just enough lift to stop the rock. But we aren't at the straw yet. We're still looking at the fit. When the door closes, it should meet the seal of the threshold with a soft, muffled whump. Not a bang, not a rattle. If you have to slam the door to get it to latch, the threshold is too high. If you can see daylight under the door, it's too low. Most modern thresholds have an adjustable cap, a wooden or plastic strip held by screws that you can raise or lower. Turn those screws and listen to the click. Feel the resistance change. You want the sweep on the bottom of the door to just barely drag across the seal. It should feel like pulling a piece of paper out from under a heavy book. There's tension, but it moves. Now pull the threshold back out. We're going for the permanent install. You're going to take your high-grade exterior sealant, the stuff that stays flexible even in a deep freeze. You're going to lay down three thick, undulating beads of caulk across the subfloor. This isn't just glue, it's a gasket. You want enough on there so that when you press the threshold down, it beds into the sealant. As you lower the threshold into the wet caulk, pay attention to the sound. It shouldn't sound like wood hitting wood. It should sound like a heavy, muffled thud. That's the sound of the sealant being compressed and filling every void. This is the bedding process. If you hear a hollow clack, you didn't use enough caulk. Pull it up and add more. This is the only chance you get to waterproof the underside of your entryway. If you skip this, the first driving rainstorm will push water right under that metal plate and start the rot cycle all over again. Once it's bedded, you're going to drive your fasteners. If you're going into concrete, you've got your masonry bits and your tapcons. If it's wood, you're using stainless steel screws. Don't use zinc or yellow passivated screws here. They'll corrode in 5 years from the moisture and the salt from your boots. Use the good stuff. As the screw pulls the threshold down, watch the edges. You should see a tiny bit of sealant squeeze out from the front and back. That's the bead of confidence. It tells you that there are no air pockets left underneath. Now take that drinking straw. If you've got a screw hole that's a little too deep, or a corner where the caulk didn't quite reach, you can use the straw to blow a little bit of dust out of the way, or to guide a tiny precise bead of sealant into a tight spot where the gun can't reach. It's about control. Real craftsmanship isn't about the big hammer, it's about the tiny adjustments that no one will ever see, but everyone will feel. Wipe away the excess sealant with a rag dipped in mineral spirits. You want a clean, professional line. Now stand back and look at it. Open and close the door 5 times. Each time, listen to the latch. The latch should hit the strike plate exactly the same way every time. If it doesn't, if the door is fighting the threshold, you need to adjust that cap now while the sealant is still wet. The weight of your body is the final test. Step on the center of the threshold, then the left side, then the right. It should feel like you're stepping on a solid rock. There should be zero movement, zero sound, and zero give. If it feels like a trampoline, you didn't bed it right. But if it's solid, you've just extended the life of your entryway by 20 years. I learned the importance of that solid feel the hard way on a house out in the country. I'd installed a threshold in a hurry, because a storm was coming in. I didn't level the subfloor properly. I figured the screws would pull it flat. They didn't. Over the next 6 months, every time the homeowner stepped on that sill, the metal flexed just a tiny bit. That flexing acted like a pump. It sucked in moisture and blew out the sealant. By the next spring, the brand new threshold was leaking worse than the old one. I had to go back, pull the whole thing up, and do it right on my own dime. I never made that mistake again. I never trust the screws to do the work that the prep should have done. You're looking for that specific fit. When the weather stripping on the door hits the sill, it should compress about an eighth of an inch. You can see it if you get down on your knees and look at eye level. The rubber or vinyl should deform slightly against the metal. That's your weather-tight seal. That's what keeps the heating bills down and the ants out. The job is almost done, but there's one last thing. Look at the horns of the threshold, the parts that tuck under the door jams. If there's a gap there, fill it with a tiny bit of clear silicone. Use your finger to smooth it out. It should be invisible. This is the most common place for leaks to start. Right at the corner where the vertical jam meets the horizontal sill. If you seal that corner, you've won the war. As you pack up your tools, run your hand one last time across the surface. It should be cool, clean, and immovable. You started with a squishy, rotten mess, and now you have a structural barrier. You've taken a failing part of the house and made it better than it was when it was built. That's the torque and tape way. It's not about making it look pretty for a photo. It's about making it work when the rain is horizontal and the wind is howling. You've got a solid sill under your feet now. You know what right feels like, that dead solid thud when you step on it. You know the smell of a healthy install versus the earthy warning of rot. You've used a piece of trash to make a precision repair. That's the kind of knowledge that stays in your hands long after the job is done. It's the difference between a handyman and a fixer. I want to know what you're dealing with on your end. What's the job that's currently fighting you? Is it a door that won't stay shut? A window that's leaking from the top down, or maybe a piece of old hardware that's so stripped you're thinking about taking a torch to it. Tell me about the project that's been sitting on your bench, because you aren't sure if the next move is the right one. We've all been there, staring at a problem that seems to have no clean solution. Let's figure it out. What's giving you the most grief in your shop or your home right now?